direction. Father, I pray that you touch every one of us that are here under the sound of my voice, that God, that there'll be a shaking in the spirit, that there'll be a moving. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that we've been through some things, and there are many that I can feel that are struggling just to make it. But Lord, after all we've been through, we still have joy. Father, we pray, God, that you help us to keep our confidence and not cast it off, that we are confident in you, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you for our right minds. Thank you for our bodies being able to yield the fruit of the Spirit, that we'll do, we'll love each other, that we will show acts of kindness to one another. Father, we thank you. Father, we pray for our communities. And we pray for those in streets, those that are hurting, those that are suffering right now, families that are bereaved. We pray for them. Father, we ask you right now, Lord, to have mercy. And Father, that you would help us to deal with the current situations in our country, God. Father, we pray for your intervention. We pray, God, that you would change some things for us. Father, I pray that you would help me, God, to deliver an empowering word that will heal the brokenhearted, that will set the captives free, that set at liberty them that are bruised. Thank you for the anointing, God, that makes preaching easy. Let my tongue be as the ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Father, after you've healed and helped us, after you've delivered us, and Lord God, after you've shown us our destiny in you, Father, we be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. We'll thank you, Lord, and we'll join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, that chant and declare one to another that you are holy, God. You are holy, God. You are holy, God, and your glory fills the earth, and we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to use for a topic and a title or thought today, this morning, getting to know the word. He got in your boss at work, but I've been empowered to be able to withstand. And just as the word of God still stands today, I'm standing on a word that I won't be moved. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, I'm getting to know the word. And since I know the word, I shall not be moved. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why does God want to give us his word? Because his word is weights. It keeps you from being blown away. You know, the stuff that just blow y'all, man, it just blew me away. Oh yeah, God said, no, it won't blow you away no more, because you got some weight now. And when the winds blow, when the storms of life blow in your life, you shall not be moved by whatever the wind and doctrine, by the slate of men, the cunning craftiness, because I have a word. Glory be to God. Getting to know the word. That's why so many people, they go off of what people say. They call it prophecy or prophelying, whatever the case they call it. And people will change their life based off what somebody said. I'm telling you, I'm not going to change my life. I appreciate prophecy. I thank you for it. But I know what the word of God said. And if I just keep seeking him, then whatever you say is going to happen anyway. So I don't have to make a turn. I don't have to make a change, because the word of God is powerful. Amen. It's electrifying. It changes my life. It does something. It makes a drastic change in me. It makes me not want to cuss no more, preach. It makes me not want to lie no more. It makes me want to do the right thing when I want to do wrong. Paul said that I would do. I do not. That I do. That's the thing that I do. He said that when I think to do good, evil is present. But glory be to God that the word of the Lord will keep me. The word of the Lord will chastise me. The word of the Lord will change me. That's why he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, you gotta look. behold. That's what the word means. Behold, I need to look. All things become new. Oh, yeah, the reason why I don't remember what mess they talking about is because I'm new. The reason why I ain't going to entertain that old stuff is because I'm new. Oh, come on and say, man, what do you do with the old stuff? You get rid of the old stuff. You forget the old stuff. I forgot I had that old suit because I got some new suits, and I ain't wore that in 4 or 5 years, so I need to take it out. Do I have anybody in here that say, I'm forgetting the old stuff? Well, your haters ain't forgot, but that's okay. But I'm still forgetting the old stuff. The old stuff can't live in the new life. I got to get rid of the old, because he can't put new wine in the old wineskin. It'll only bust it up. And I'm not planning on busting. I'm planning on being blessed. Oh, come on and shame man up in here and give God some glory. Is the word electrifying? Does it give you energy to want to keep on keeping on? Sometimes I get slow, but when I get in the word, I feel like it can't no devil handle me now. I woke up with the word on my mind. I woke up with this scripture right here, what I'm talking to you about. That's the first thing in my head this morning. I said, I must preach that, because I looked at something else last night. But I said, I got to preach how the word of the Lord is powerful, how it energizes me, how it makes me want to get up and run on, because I know what the end's going to be, how the word of God, it changes me, it rearranges me, it gets my mind right, my heart right. It tells me that I can still love you when you don't like me. It helps me out that I can turn the other cheek when they want to slap this cheek. I say, have at it, because I know what the Lord has in store for me. I can give my enemy water when he's thirsty and bread when he's hungry, because I got a word on the inside. I ain't got hatred there, I ain't got bitterness there, but I have a word on the inside of me that make me want to love the folks that don't love me. I want them to see the goodness of God. I want them to see how powerful this word is. If they could just only experience what I experienced, if they can only plug in, tap in, if they can only get energized. Do I have anybody here? We got to be energized. Let me show you something. You wouldn't stay in a house that had no power, would you? I'm going to give me a motel. I'm not finna stay. I ain't got no electricity. I'm going to stay somewhere else. You got some room at your house. And what makes you think the Holy Ghost want to stay in a house? Preach. Y'all ain't going to preach. I'm going to preach like a grown man should. What makes you think the Holy Spirit wants to stay in your house and you ain't got no energy? You ain't got no power. I wish I had somebody. How do I get the power? It's the word of the Lord. Have mercy in here. I'm about to pop open, y'all. You're going to understand here. This fresh, hot off the press stuff. And so I got to have the word of God, because it energizes me. It gives me power. And you know what? When people don't know how to handle power, it do something to them. It hurts them, amen, when they don't know how to handle power. So when people don't know how to handle me, I ain't got to do nothing to them. It hurts them more than it hurts me. That's why I can let go of it. That's why I can let them have it. Oh, yeah, you can go ahead, because it's going to hurt you, because you don't know how to gear up. You don't know how to put on your PPE. You don't know how to be protected from this. Come on and say, man, because you're looking at some power. You're putting your hand up. That's why he says he's giving us a warning. Touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. He's not telling them, don't do it, because if you do it, I'm just going to get you. No, he's saying that it's going to hurt them, because when they try to touch you, when they try to put their hand on you, it's going to be some power. And what you get from touching power without the protection, without the gloves you're supposed to have on, without handling it the right way, then it will make you pay. Oh, come on and say amen in here. We got to handle the word right. We can't handle the word any kind of way, because if we don't handle it right, it could hurt us. Oh, hallelujah. It's powerful. And I only got the powerful. I'm trying to get further. It's quick and powerful. Notice the conjunctions there. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up words, phrases, and clauses. It says, and powerful, and sharper, and sharper. The word sharper means that it's penetrating. It can penetrate. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, when you look at the word two-edged, it means like a mouth of a river has two ways. He says sharper than any two. It has two ways. The word of God has two ways. Now, either you can, people used to say it'll draw you or it'll drive you. Well, let me say it like this. It'll either give you life or it'll kill you. Amen. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we look at it being sharper that means that it has two, it's double-edged, it's so sharp, there's nothing sharper than the word of God. You know, when we talk about being sharp, we talk about people who are very smart, very intelligent. The word of God is intelligent. The word of God is not an ignorant word, because many times in this day, people will say that this kind of church that we do is for ignorant folks. They're still serving God. They don't call on the universe. They don't call the stars to do their work. They're still praying to a God. Or even atheists say that, you know, that God doesn't exist. I once worked with a guy who was an atheist, and he told me, he said, "How you gonna feel when you do all this that you're doing, and then you find—" He wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy. He was better than most Christians that I know. He didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't do, you know, he treated people right. But he said, "What are you going to do when you get there and you find out that there's no God?" I said, "Well, I don't know what I'll do, but I do know this. What I want to ask you this question. What are you going to do when you get there and find out there is a God?" I would much rather live my life as if there is a God and find out later that it might not have been, then live my life if there was no God and find out that it is. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, glory be to God. So when we look at the word penetrating, it gets down on the inside of you. We have to not resist the word. That's why the book of Revelation speaks about, it talks about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He is not talking to the sinner, as we always say. When we get up and we want to appeal to sinners in revival, "Behold, he stand at the door and knock. If any man hears voice." No, if you read that text, he is talking to, in the context, that's what I told you, the full context, he is talking to the church. And somehow the word ended up outside of the church. How is that happening? Well, it's happening right before our very eyes. It's happening in Natchitoches. It's happening all over the country. It's happening everywhere. People are not hearing the word because they put the word on the outside and they're going on what they want to say. "Oh, yeah, you know, bring me a minstrel." And they begin to play, and then, "Oh, yeah, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said." And then people leave there and they, "Ooh, wow, you hear how God using him?" And don't know that it's sometimes you can open yourself up to a familiar spirit when you don't understand what you're doing. But when you have the word of God on the inside of you, the spirit cannot touch you. Lord have mercy. Let me move on. But he says it's sharper, meaning that it's able to get down. When you have something that's sharp, it means that you don't have to hatch it and keep hacking at something for you to get it. At one point, when somebody speak a word, God don't have to keep knocking and hitting the same spot. God, with one word, one preached word, one time, I can say something and all of a sudden it'll just hit you. If somebody can say something to me and it'll just hit me and boom, there it is. I have what they call an epiphany. That's what some people call it. And it changes me because it got down in the deepest part of my spirit and soul. And see, the problem has been with people who have been teaching the word. You can watch them, and I watch them on TV, and I enjoy sometime, but I don't watch them all the time, but I enjoy sometime. I listen to them. I say, "Oh, that was pretty good." But the church has become like a psychiatrist's office, where we come and we lay on the pew, and we let somebody tell us what we're feeling, and then after they tell us what we're feeling, then they say, "Well, Jesus can help you." But, you know, and that's okay, but that only helps us in our flesh and our soul. And that's why we continue to do the same things that we did before we heard the word. We continue to doubt. We continue to be in unbelief. We continue to be sick. All of this. But when the word of God, when it's sharp and it goes down to the inside, it changes you from the inside out. Okay. All right. All I'm saying is that when I was young, there was some uneducated preachers that could preach to me, and I felt so clean after I left. There was some preachers that didn't go to no school, and they said if and ain't and I and us's, and they said all this stuff, but somehow there was a penetrating word down on the inside of me that made me want to do right, that made me feel a change about myself. And all I'm saying is that it doesn't matter who or the vessel it comes through, but one thing we got to get is a word that is piercing, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that goes down deep on the inside of us and touches us to a point that we're never the same. But we can't keep getting the same word that matches up with my intellect. Now I understand God because my mind understands. You know, there's some things we just won't understand until later. We'll understand it better by and by. And I don't have to understand everything God is doing. All I need to understand is God. Preach. All I'm saying is that I don't have to understand how he works it, but I need to understand his love for me. I need to understand his word that's written for me. I wish I had somebody in here today. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And in other words, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? And so if that's one of the weapons that we need to defeat the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your body, the enemy of your life, the enemy of your family, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, how is it that we keep trying to pick up other weapons to defeat this enemy when God has said, I've given you the weapon. I've given you the nuclear bomb. Lord have mercy here. We still want hand-to-hand combat. And God has said, I've given you the nuclear bomb. Nuclear is what? Energy? Oh, have mercy. I've given you the power to end the war, but you won't use it. Have mercy, God. Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. He said, I'm giving you the power to be able to end this thing, but you won't use the power. You won't use what I've given you, and you try to use all other means. You're looking at Oprah. You're looking at Dr. Phil. You're looking at Dr. Oz. You're looking at everybody that's educated with intellect. You're reading their book. Steve Harvey got a book. You're reading that. What is her name? Islana Fix My Life. You're trying to see if you can compare your life to somebody on her show, but God is saying she ain't going to fix your life. I heard him sing a song years ago that I know that Jesus will fix it. I wish I had somebody here that believed that Jesus can fix your life with one word. Anybody know that he can do it with one word? Notice not only is the word penetrating, he said, but it's like a two-edged sword, piercing. It's penetrating and piercing, even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I'm almost done now. But the Bible says here that the word of the Lord is piercing. It gets down on the inside of you and it pierces your problem, because most of our problem starts on the what? Inside of us, because the enemy sets a trap and then he plants a seed, and God has said, I got to get in there with the word and I got to cut that mess out and get it out. I wish I had somebody. Because if God's word doesn't cut that stuff out, because you got, the Bible says bitterness is as a root. And some of us are bitter at family. Some of us are bitter at friends. We're bitter at people that don't know we're bitter at them. I wish I had somebody. And bitterness is killing us. Bitterness is why we got so much pain in our life. Bitterness is why we have so much problems in our health, because we got bitterness. And you know what? It's as a root. And if you got roots around your pipes, it's going to cause a plumbing problem, and you ain't got a flow. Lord have mercy. You don't have a flow of things in your life. And so the reason why things are not flowing in your life like it should is because of bitterness. But thanks be to God, there is a sword that can cut to the root of things. I wish I had somebody here. You need some root grinding in your life. You need somebody to grind those roots. And I came this morning to let you know that the word of God can get rid of all your bitterness. I wish I had somebody. The word of God can go down on the inside of you, cut those roots out, and pull that mess out of your life. I wish I had a few people here that would really admit that I've had some bitterness, Pastor Holden, but I don't want to stay like this, because this stuff got my blood pressure up. This stuff got me stressing out. Look, I'm losing hair. Every day I look in the sink and my hair falling out because of this mess I got on the inside of me, and I'm tired of it, and I need a word that's going to help me out. I need a word that's going to heal me. I need a word, somebody say amen here, that's going to cause me to get up and do what I need to do, because I gotta work for the Lord. And so the word is piercing. It's down on the inside and it separates. Look at what it said. It divides asunder. It separates, and it helps you to understand things that are soulish and things that are spiritual. You got so many things in the church that we're calling spiritual, but they really soulless level stuff. And what is your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. My mind can't comprehend it. I ain't with it. My will, I ain't willing to do it. My emotions, if it touches my emotions, then I think it's spiritual. No, sometimes it may not even touch your emotions, but something happens on the inside of you because it's spiritual. Oh, come on and say amen here. The spirit and the soul are two different things, but so many people have taught that the spirit and soul are one. And you know what? The soul is the governance to the spirit, the body, and the spirit is what tells the soul what it should do. But we've been living in reverse order. We let the body tell the soul what it ought to do. And so the soul, the mind, start figuring out how I can get the body what the body wants, when we should be saying, how can we get the spirit what the spirit wants? Because whatever the spirit wants is good for the soul and the body. I wish I had somebody here. So how else can we know this except by the word of God? Do I have anybody that said, I want God to show me the difference between the soulish and the spirit realm? I need to know how the spirit operates in my life. Come on and shout amen here. He said, and the joints and marrow. He began to let us know that there are some things that we joined up with, some things that we've connected with that have become part of us, and our body has begun to give it marrow, meaning that it begins to mend together. And he said, the spirit of God, or the word of God, will begin to separate some stuff. It's some people that you joined up with, God separating you from. You've been trying. Lord have mercy. There's some things that you've grabbed hold to, and God is saying, I gotta separate it. It looked like it been part of you all your life, but God said, now it's time for you to let it go. Even though you've had it in your life all your life, you've had that problem all your life, but God said, you don't have to have that problem any longer, because I've given you a word that'll be able to separate that stuff from you. Come on and shout hallelujah. We got to understand that the word of God is piercing, and it says is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know that God knows you better than you know yourself? And we think we can fool God. We get down there on our knees and say, God, I ain't going to do it no more. And God say, I know you're going to do it, but I'm still going to love you. I know you're going to do it, but I'm still going to let you live, because something greater is on the inside of you. Do you know the Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? And the reason why God lets us remain is because he's on the inside. When he looks at me, he doesn't see Al Holden. He sees Jesus Christ. When he looks at me, he say, I see, I put myself in you, so that when I look at you, I don't see your mess, but I see myself. Come on and say amen. Just like when you look at your own children, you look and you can see your eyes on that little booger. You can see your lips and your mouth. You can say, oh yeah, he got my ears. And when you see yourself, it's some things you just ain't gonna do. When you see yourself, you're gonna try to take care of yourself. You're gonna try to make yourself got what it needs. And so instead of us trying to show God us, let us show God Jesus, so that whatever we need, he's able to give it to us. That's why he said, take this word in you. We need to get the word. We need to eat the word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We've been eating on everything else. We've been eating junk food for spiritual food. And God has said, no longer do we need to eat that junk food. He said, I got a spiritual diet for you, and it's full of faith. Oh, come on and shout amen here. And give God some praise. I'm so glad for the piercing, because if it had not been for the piercing in me, I would still be no good. If it had not been for the piercing in me, I still would be on the street. If it had not been for the piercing of the word, I still would have that stinking thinking that make me do what I want to do. But sometime now, when I think about doing what I want to, I got what we call sometime a first mind. But the first mind is God's mind. The first mind is the Holy Ghost. You know, you ever say, I should have listened to my first mind? And the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, go left, and you turn right, go down a dead end, and you say, I should have listened to my first mind. What he's trying to do is get you to listen to him. He's trying to practice so that you'll be able to hear his voice. I wish I had somebody here that understood the word of God. The word of God energizes me. That's why I'm not going to sit down on the Lord. The word of God makes me want to tell somebody how good God's been to me. I remember a song they used to sing. It said, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it. to myself. Y'all making me preach y'all, but I'm going to stop in a minute. He said, I want to tell somebody how to get empowered. You know how it is if you got good energy, if you're on SWEPCO, and you got folks that have been on the city of Natchitoches, and they're talking about how high their bill is. I listen to them and say, oh, you'll be a 400, you'll be a 500. Well, my house bill is only about 150. Sound like you need to change power companies. And so when people got problems in their life, you need to tell them, look, you need to change power. You've been listening to Oprah. You've been listening to your friends and family. You've been trying to figure it out in the dark. Here, let me plug you into my power source. What is your power source? My power source is the Word. My power source is Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Word who came down through 39 prophets, fought in two generations, who hung his head in the locks of his shoulders after they pierced his hands and pierced his feet with nails, pierced him in the side. The Bible says he died, but he didn't stay dead because the Word came down. I wish I had somebody. The Word was put in a grave after the Word carried a cross. The Word was put in a borrowed tomb, but early when the devil thought he had the Word, how he put a rock in front of the Word, how they wrapped the Word in dead clothes, but early, somebody say early, Sunday morning, the Word got up, and the Word got up with all power in heaven and earth. I'm talking about the power of the Word, the creative power of God, that everything that was made, it was made by the Word. If you need some things in your life, you ought to call on God and say, Lord, send me a word, because the Bible says, I send my word and heal them. Do I have anybody that say, I need a healing? So Lord, send your word. Come on and shout yes. He sent his word and he healed us from all of our disease and all of our sickness. I thank God for the word. Some of us have been in darkness, but we need a word. He said in the word, he said the word will be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. Anybody walking in darkness, I got a word for you. He is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. If you want to come to the Father, you need to come through by me. Come on and shout yes. Won't the word heal you? Won't the word deliver you? I know y'all ready to go, but won't he? Come on and say yes in here. I say, won't God do it? Won't God be a friend? Won't the word plow you up? Won't the word energize you? We can't go 2 days without a phone. We got to find us a charger. We're looking for some power because we got to stay in communication. And so here it is, the word. We don't want to power up with the word so we can stay in communication with God, because God don't have to answer my words. He answers his words. I wish I had somebody that said, I need a word. I'm getting to know what God said. I'm getting to know the word of God. Come on and shout yes. Oh, come on and give God praise. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm getting to know the word, and I may not know three things, and I may not know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Have you tried the word? Won't the word heal you? Won't the word set you free? Won't the word give you joy in the midst of sorrow? Won't the word give you peace in the midst of the storm? Come on and shout yeah. Shout yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? I say, is the word all right? Is the word powerful? Is the word practical? Is the word penetrating? Does the word pierce your life? Do you ought to give God some praise? Do you ought to magnify him? Oh, come on and shout yes here.
Sometimes all I have is a word. I may not have no friends, but I still got a word. Some of you don't feel like you got family, but you still got a word. I may not have good health, but I'm holding on to the word. I may not have a job, but I'm holding on to the word. I don't have no car. My money is funny, and my change is strange, but I'm holding on to the word of God. Do I have anybody that say, I may not have anything else, but I got one thing. I got a word, and that's all I need. Because if you got a word, demons of fear and tremble. If you got a word, that whatever you need will come to you. If you got a word, it empowers you to be able to overcome all obstacles. If you got a word, you're more than a conqueror.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana.